Okay, thank you, Rodney. The scripture today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called as saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus, that you are enriched in him in every way, in all speech and all knowledge. In this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. You were called by him into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Joellen. And almost, thank you, Rodney, for the introduction. So as I get started today, I was looking at this, and when Rodney asked me to share, I thought to myself, Advent. How familiar am I with the word Advent? How familiar are all of us with Advent? And maybe some of you are more familiar than myself. But I dug into the word Advent a little bit, and so we're going to have a short little history lesson. Well, concise, to the point, so don't check out on me just because I said history lesson. But to start with, when you think of Advent, how many of you actually think of this? An Advent calendar. An Advent calendar. Because that's pretty much what I think of when I think of Advent. So we have had this one for many years, 25-ish years in our home. And each day, starting December 1st, the kids would pick out something and they would put it on the calendar, Velcro-wise, and it would stick there on the 25th. Then you have Jesus, baby Jesus, and he would get put in the manger on the 25th. And so this is my understanding of Advent. And so since that's about all I had, I dug a little bit deeper and I said, what is Advent? What's the meaning of it? And like we've already discussed, Advent is the coming. All right, it means the coming. And we're living between two comings. And that's what this short little series for the next 4 weeks is going to talk about, the church and how we as a church are to live in between the first coming and the second coming. And so for many of us, I'm sure there was confusion. Some people may know that the Advent season focuses on the expectation of and the anticipation of Christ's birth in the season leading up to Christmas, but this is only part of it. There's more to Advent. So here's the history. The word Advent is derived from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming, and Rodney already shared that this morning. So in context of today, it means, for us, it means the coming. All right? So scholars believe that during the 4th and the 5th century in Spain and Gaul, Advent was a season of preparation for the baptism of new Christians at the January Feast of Epiphany, the celebration of God's incarnation, represented by the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus, which is in Matthew 2, the celebration of his baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, and his first miracle in Cana. So it was during this season that the Christians would spend 40 days in penance and prayer and fasting to prepare for this celebration. So originally, there was very little, almost zero, to do with Christmas. So again, 4th and 5th century. So we're moving along, we move into the 6th century. So in the 6th century, the Roman Christians came along and they tied Advent to the coming of Christ, but not the coming that you might have in mind as his first coming in a manger in Bethlehem, but they tied it to the second coming, when he was going to return in the clouds for his people. And then we move along to the Middle Ages. The Middle Ages, the Advent season was explicitly linked to Christ's first coming at Christmas. So today, what does all this mean? Let's put it together. I'm putting it together. Today, the season of Advent lasts for 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas. At that time, the new Christian year begins with a 12-day celebration of Christmastide, which lasts from Christmas Eve until Epiphany, which is January 6th. So Advent begins on a Sunday that falls between November 27th and December 3rd each year. So year 2020, our Advent begins today, November 29th. And it goes up until December 24th. So in that, this is what I love. The church is in a very similar situation to Israel when we look back to just the end of the Old Testament. In the end of the Old Testament, Israel was in exile. They were waiting. They were hoping in prayerful expectation for their coming Messiah. Now, Israel looked back on God's faithfulness. I love the music today. I love the songs because every song was tied in to today's message. Israel looked back to God's faithfulness in the past and how he led them through the wilderness. He led them out of Egypt in the Exodus. And because of his faithfulness in the past, they looked towards his promise of a Messiah. In the same way, today, the church, during Advent, we look back upon God's faithfulness in sending the Messiah, Christ's coming, while at the same time, we're looking forward in eager expectation to his second coming, when he returns for us, his people. So, in light of Christmas, it is only in the light of Christmas that the Christian life makes any sense. Let me say that again. It is only in the light of Christmas that the Christian life makes any sense. A gentleman by the name of Karl Barth, he wrote these words. He spoke about unfulfilled and fulfilled promises. He said, Advent faith, believing in the coming of Christ and the expectation of a future coming. But Advent faith knows for whom and for what it is waiting. It is fulfilled faith because it lays hold of the promise that Christ did come, the Messiah did come. The promise for Israel and the promise for the church is Jesus Christ, and he has come. But it is also an unfulfilled promise in that one day he is coming again. And this is the essence of Advent. So this is the history lesson that we're looking at this morning. The essence of Advent is the two comings, the Latin word Adventus, meaning Advent or the coming. We as a church today are living between these two comings, his first coming and expectant waiting expectancy for his second coming. So, and I think 1 Corinthians chapter 1 gives us a great, great foundation for how we are to be living today. So before we jump into this, let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. And Father, as we look at what you said in 1 Corinthians today, help us to have eyes to see the truth in your word, ears to hear, Father God. May you be honored and glorified through all of it. May your word be declared this morning. So we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So thank you, Joellen, for reading that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It is said that in 1 through 9, verses 1 through 9, it's Paul's glorious listing of Paul's glorious benefits of being a believer. So if you want to know the benefits of being a believer, being a Christian, head to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read through 1 through 9 and meditate on those, which is what we are going to do today. Let me read again. Verse 1 to 3, Paul says, he is called an apostle of Jesus Christ by God's will, and Sosthenes his brother, to the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called as saints, with all of those everywhere who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. So right off the bat, Paul gives us his calling, right? He was called as an apostle by the will of God. He is called an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. But he also names a couple other things here, a couple other callings, if you will. He says, to the church of God in Corinth, and not only to the church of God in Corinth, but also to everyone else who calls upon the name of the Lord. And that would be us, River City, those in Iowa City, those in other parts of Iowa, those in the U.S., those around the world, the universal church, to those who call upon the name of the Lord. This is what this is who we are. He goes on to say, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, to those called as saints. This is us. If we are born again, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, then this is who you are because God says so. Now, probably like myself, there's many of you thinking, but I don't live like a saint. And I think my wife would verify if she could, but we've muted her. I think Kip would verify that I don't live like a saint every day. I don't act like a saint. I don't act like I'm sanctified. I don't act like I'm free from sin. I'm set apart. I don't. And I don't think a lot of us do on a daily basis. I don't think any of us do. But that's not necessarily what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about our calling. He's talking about who we are according to God the Father. You've heard the saying, well, she's a saint to go on living with that man, meaning that man is not very nice. He probably doesn't treat her well, but yet she is nice. She is virtuous. She is kind, or she is patient. And she is all of that to go on living with that man. But in reality, none of us are saints. None of us are necessarily sanctified. We don't live that way, but we are called that because of Jesus Christ. At the first advent, Christ came. He was born. He lived a perfect life. But upon himself, he took my sin and he took your sin and he gave himself for us. He was crucified, buried, rose again. And when we place our faith in Jesus, He has, we by faith believe that he has taken our sin from us, and he has paid the penalty of our sin. And in return, he has given us his righteousness. And this is a spiritual act. It's not something that we do physically, but it's something that took place at the moment of salvation. He gave us his righteousness so that now when God looks at me, I am a child of God. I am loved by a sovereign creator. He calls me a saint. He calls me sanctified. And he sees me clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So Paul starts out and he says, to those that are sanctified, to those that are called saints, this is our position, who we are in Jesus Christ. Our position is fixed. Our position is fixed. Now, conditionally, the living out aspect of that every day, we don't live like saints. I don't live like a saint. But positionally, this is how God sees us. And so by faith, we need to let our positional truth affect our daily living. We need to allow, by faith, our positional truth to affect the choices that we make each and every day for God's honor and for God's glory. This is, in my opinion, this is the greatest news. This is the gospel. The gospel is this, is that we were sinners, but Christ came, his first advent. He died, took my sin punishment, the death that I deserved upon himself, and he paid my debt. And in return, he gives me a new position. He gives me his righteousness. And by faith now, I need to live there each and every day. And whether you wake up or you go to bed at night, but these are truths that we need to, when we wake up in the morning, we need to affirm these things in our own hearts so that this is the foundation that we're standing on and we're believing in each and every day about ourselves, allowing our positional truth to affect how we live out our life each and every day. Because when I believe that I am loved by the creator of the world, when I believe that I am righteous, even though my actions do not reflect that, then these things are going to begin to re-influence my choices each and every day. So, verses 1 through 3, let's move on. Verses 4 through 7, I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in him in every way, in all speech and all knowledge. So God, right here in 4 and 5, he says, I've given you graces. I've given you favor. I've given you gifts, spiritual gifts. At that moment of salvation, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are indwelt with his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit then gives us spiritual gifts. Gifts for the body of Christ. Yes, we are born with natural abilities, and I believe that God orchestrated all of that also, because God is sovereign over all. And so he has given us abilities, but he's also giving us graces, favors. He's also gifted us as children of God with spiritual gifts. We are enriched in him, in him. And verse 6 goes on to say, in this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. These things are confirmed, or Christ is confirmed in us through these giftings. Christ is confirmed in us through these giftings. And this is what I love. Verse 7, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift. The Corinthians didn't lack any spiritual gift. I don't believe we lack any spiritual gift either as a body of Christ. He has given gifts individually, and those individual gifts are to be used in our families, in our neighborhoods, our communities, but they're also to be used in our community groups. In the church, those gifts are given for the edification, for the building up of the body of Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 7, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait, and wait for it, here it comes, for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the second advent. So as we live in between these two worlds, as we live in between these two advents, his first coming and his return, his second return, we have been given gifts. We have been given graces by a sovereign God, and we are to use those gifts to encourage one another, to speak truth to one another, and to build each other up. And we do this in community as believers, as a family of Christ. Now, quickly, three things that your giftings are not. Okay? Three things that your giftings are not. No doubt, each person is called and is gifted individually. But a true understanding of our gifts recognizes that they're not for mere personal gratification, but for the good of others. Our gifts are not for us alone. Our gifts are for one another. Let me read a couple verses here. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So there are many of us. We're all part of one body, but we all don't have the same function. We all haven't been given the same gift. He gave, and there's listings of gifts in Scripture. There's gifts of service. There's gifts of giving. There's gifts of hospitality, of teaching, of shepherding. And these are all things that God gave to believers for the building up of the body of Christ. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Let me read these verses also. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength of God, that strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. It has been said that the basis of our calling is not for individual satisfaction, but community development. Okay, let me say that again. Basis of our giftings, the basis of our callings is not for individual satisfaction, but for community development. So number one, remember I said three, I got two more to go. Number one, our giftings are not for you. Number two, your gifting is not from you. Our giftings are not from ourselves. We have been called, we have been gifted by a sovereign God. And we find that our giftings we find our giftings with, by, and in serving others. And we fulfill our callings as others fulfill theirs. A lot of people have said, and many of us have said, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? I don't know my gifts. We discover our gifts as we begin to serve one another. And when we begin serving one another and we're looking to God and saying, God, what are you doing right now? What are my gifts? How do you want me to get involved? We look up to the Father and to see what God is doing. And then we get involved. And the giftings that God has gifted us with begin to flourish. And these things, as we serve others, then we are blessed. In return, as others serve, then we are blessed. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The Lord establishes his steps. Our gifts are not for us. Our gifts are not from us. And three, our gifts are not for future tense. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Our giftings are not for future tense. Our giftings are for right now. I know this is might be a corny saying, but the saying is this. I believe we are to bloom where we are planted, to blossom where we are planted. And I believe God has each one of us, as we are obedient to walk with him, he leads us in different areas and different times of our lives. But wherever he has us right now, we are to bloom there. So our giftings are not for us, they're not from us, and they're not for future tense. They are for right now, so that we can be a part of encouraging and building up the body of Christ. All right, back to 1 Corinthians, verses 8 and 9. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. You were called by him into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 8, he will strengthen us till the end. We will be blameless until the end, until his return. And we are not blameless in and of ourselves. We are blameless because of the first advent. We are blameless because when he died, he took our sin upon himself and he gave us his righteousness. We are spotless. We are saints. We are called saints. That is our position. And he will strengthen us till the end. This is the gospel. This is the best news ever, that God has already done the work for us. Christ died in our place, and that through his death, we have been given new life. We have been given a new position, and that one is one of spotlessness, of blamelessness. And he will keep us till the end, because in verse 9 it says, because God is faithful. People, we are not faithful. I am not faithful. We are not good enough to earn our way to heaven. I recently said with a coworker, we were working together a couple weeks ago, and I said, if you could earn your way to heaven, then Christ died in vain. I said, if you can not say too many bad words, if you can not have too many bad thoughts, then you can get to heaven. If you don't do X amount of, or if you do X amount of good things, then you will get yourself to heaven. If you don't say so many bad words or don't do so many bad things, then you'll gain favor. But I said, to what point, how much favor do you have to gain in order to make your way to heaven? People, it's impossible, because God demands perfection, and his son was perfect. If we could earn our way to heaven, then Christ died in vain. But God is faithful. You were called by him into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. So, how do we live in between two advents? One, we live by faith, believing our position in Christ. And we allow who God says we are to affect how we live our lives out every day. By faith, we accept and believe our position in Jesus Christ. I am a beloved child of God. I am forgiven. I am called a saint. I am blameless. I am righteous. And we allow our position to affect the choices that we have to live out every day. You know, Lauren Daigle sings a song. It's titled, You Say. And in that she sings, in you, I find my worth. In you, I find my identity. So God, help us by faith to live there. Help us to find our identity in who you say we are. And then allow that to affect how we live our life out every day and the choices that we have to make. So one, live by faith in our position in Christ. Two, live realizing that God has gifted each and every one of us. And that we are to use these gifts and our abilities to encourage, to build up, to strengthen one another in the body of Christ so that we might bring glory to God the Father. And yes, it is a little bit tougher, means we're not together as a body of Christ, but that is what our giftings, that is what our abilities are for. They're for others. So let me close with this. And this saying is based on Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, which says this, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so here's the closing. Try to imagine how priceless you are to the God who created every amazing detail of who you are for his special purpose. Let me say that again. Try to imagine how priceless you are to the God who created every amazing detail of who you are for his special purpose. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that in your words this morning, we see who we are because you have declared it to be true. And help us to live there, Father God. Help us to set our minds and our thoughts on who you say we are according to your word. And Father, help us to also realize that as a body of Christ, as we live between these two Advents, your first coming and your second coming, that Father, we have been given gifts, spiritual gifts from you to be used for the edification and the building up of the body of Christ, wherever that body of Christ might be, whether it's in small community groups or in our meetings as River City, or even as a universal church. Father God, help us to be involved with what you are doing so that you might receive honor and glory. And we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.